you to please be seated. Just want to take up the tithes and offerings, if that's all right. I know the deacons, if you can come forward, please, and just stand with me. Just as Brad is preparing there. Wasn't that a wonderful time of praise and worship? I tell you, when we begin to declare the name of God, nothing compares. Everything pales, goes into the shadows. When we declare His name, we realize how great He is. But there's a passage here in Matthew. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus is speaking and He says to the people, to the Pharisees, He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Quite strong words. He says, "You give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your dill, and your cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which are justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Amen. And you know, a lot of people say, you know, tithes and offerings, tithes. It's an Old Testament concept. But here we see Jesus Christ actually saying, continue to tithe. But He's going further. He's saying it's important what you do, but more important is why you do it. Why do you do it? And I think that's where the Pharisees were getting a little bit. They were so focused on, look what I am doing, but they neglected the heart of the thing. They neglected justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And as we receive our tithes and offerings, I'll pray that we'd understand. Jesus says, don't neglect that thing, but let us have an understanding of why we are doing something. I tell you, tithes and offerings, it's a faithfulness that we show unto God. And with that, I tell you, He pours out His mercy. He pours out His love and His grace upon us through that. There's a blessing that comes upon us. And there's a blessing that we give through that. And I just want us to just receive the tithes and offerings now with that in mind. Don't neglect the important things. Amen. Thank you, church.
Be good. That's great. Thank you, John. Goeiemôre. Last few weeks I'm getting in the habit of greeting everyone in Afrikaans. That's great. I love Afrikaans people. I married an Afrikaans girl. And so thank you very much to the Afrikaans culture. This morning we're going to be speaking about a wonderful topic. I don't know how many of you saw in the week. I just thought I'd try something. I said I'm going to be preaching on the S word. And I didn't want to say what the S word was. And I put there, hashtag no swearing. And I said, if you you can guess the word. And whatever maybe you can guess what it is that I'm going to preach on. And I said, in fact, whatever words you suggest, I'll use it in my preach. So, I mean, there were some very interesting things. If you go and look on the on the list of what's under that post, some guys made up all kinds of words with S's. And so I'm going to do my best to actually bring them through in the preach this morning. But more than that, I don't want to play with preaching. Preaching is all about Jesus. Preaching is the gospel of Jesus. Preaching is what saves us. Preaching, it's through preaching that we are born again. It's through the preaching of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, that God's power and God's wisdom is revealed. So preaching is not Mickey Mouse. Preaching is not nothing. It's like, oh, geez, why do we have to come to the preaching? You know, can't we just do this or can't we just do that? And, you know, many people have got all kinds of different ideas. I tell you what, we wouldn't have anything at all if it wasn't for the preaching. You don't have good worship without good preaching. Amen? You don't have good deeds being done without good preaching. You don't have the church responding and rising to the image of Christ without good preaching. So I'm praying, God, help me be a good preacher. And I listen to as many good preachers as I can. During the week, I've got podcasts of various great guys that speak. And I love to listen to different preaching. It was through preaching that my life was saved. I can remember on the 7th of May 2000, walking into a meeting like this, kind of in trepidation and scared, and I didn't know what was going to kind of happen. I thought, I know God, I can handle God. I learned a little bit about Him in Sunday school. And it was through the preaching that my heart was convicted of sin. And it was through the preaching that I understood that God loved me, wanted to save me, and had a purpose for my life. It's through preaching, folk. When you come every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, and you sit under the preaching of God's Word, sometimes it's through a Mickey Mouse like Brad who's saying all kinds of funny things in between it all. But when you sit under the preaching of God's Word, it keeps your life together. It helps you build upon a rock. things get adjusted and challenged in your own heart and in your own life, and the readjustments that you make is the fruit of the preaching of God's word. Don't stop coming and sitting under the preaching. It's, you know, some people say, well, what's more important, your personal devotion to God or coming to church on a Sunday and listening to the preaching? Well, let me say this. The preaching of God's word is probably more important than your personal devotion. But the preaching of God's word is going to stir your devotion. And if you're really devoted, you'll start to preach. Isn't it interesting? Because what's the point? Is the point that the saints get better at being saints, or is the point that broken, lost people get saved? Hello? Let's think about that. What's the point? I thank God that my broken life was rescued by God. But now, it's not all about me getting better and better at being a nice, holy Christian. No, it's about understanding that love came to me when I was nonsense. And I've got to take that love to those that are broken and help them and restore them. The preaching of God's word. Through the preaching of the gospel, the power of God, that people are saved. Incredible, eh? I hope you have a renewed understanding or faith in this. So, we've been looking, Jesus said this, the word says this, he never taught anything except through parables. So when Jesus taught his disciples, he taught with parables. And the parables are amazing. Jesus had an incredible way of using everyday things to bring illustrations to people in such a way that they could understand and could set their lives on it and could be changed and challenged by the word of God through it. So this morning we're going to go to Matthew chapter 18. And this is the parable of childlike faith. I'll give it a title. That sinking feeling. There's another S. Matthew 18 from verse 1 to 6. And before I read his wonderful word, I'd like to pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you for the grace to reveal you and for you to be everything that everyone sets their hearts and lives on. I pray, God, through the preaching of this word, Lord, that so many times you've humbled me through preaching. I pray that you would use me. You give grace to the humble. You oppose the proud. I pray, Father God, I pray for grace this morning. We humbly come before your word, not trying to change it, but asking it to change us. We pray, Lord, that your way be the only way that takes place here. I pray for Holy Spirit, for you to highlight exactly what needs to be highlighted in every one of our hearts for the sake of your kingdom and for the sake of your glory. We thank you that you do that so professionally, so well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 18, verse 1 to 6. Who is the greatest? That's the title in the scripture there. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like a children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's an entrance by becoming like children. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Amen. Oh, okay. So Jesus is quite strong there. He doesn't say, causing a child to sin, no, no, please don't do that. He says, if you do that, you might as well go and take a engine block, strap it to your head, and dive off the diving board. That's quite strong, isn't it? It means Jesus doesn't want us to do that. So that's where one would get that sinking feeling. when we realize that we've been doing something that is causing other people to sin. And Jesus kind of says, hang on, that's bad. But I tell you, there's probably a different kind of sinking feeling that happens in the poor disciples, because they come along, and you know, in one of the other texts, I think it's in the Mark or Luke text, the disciples are actually chatting among themselves. They're going, yes, hey, Peter, I mean, you might have had that revelation, but I'm actually better than you. Yeah, John, I'm better than you. Yes, I'm a greater disciple than you guys. Okay. Like Nathaniel, whatever his name is. Nathaniel. We don't even, you're not even going to be in the Bible. Yes, Peter, you know, John, Jay, they're like, and they were called the sons of thunder. I mean, imagine how they would have carried on. I mean, these were rough, working class fishermen. And now all of a sudden they're following who they think is going to be the next president. They're like, yeah, I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. And they're arguing, no, I'm going to be the greatest. Probably getting into a bit of a fight about it. So they go to Jesus. Well, Jesus, who's the greatest? And then they get that sinking feeling. And he humbles him. And he says, it's not about who's being the greatest in the kingdom. It's about who becomes like a little child. You can't even enter it unless you're like a little child. And in fact, if you want to be great when you're in it, you've got to humble yourself like a child. Incredible, eh? So this whole world system would teach us to try and be great. Every one of us are trying to be great. We want to be the greatest. We want to be the best. We want to have the world accolade us. We want to have everyone celebrate us. Everybody wants for themselves to be put up in some way that all their peers, at least their family, whoever it is, would say, wow, what a great person. Wow, that person's great. All these kind of things. How many of you have even aspired to that? I mean, I'm sure within every one of our hearts there's an aspiration for some kind of greatness. Even if it's great at being not great. You know, most people are trying to make a statement of some sort. In two senses, it's not a bad question. It's good to ask Jesus who's great. But it's also bad to ask Jesus who's great. It's bad because if it's all about you, and all about you being puffed up, and you being elevated in comparison to all your friends and to everyone else, and you just being the one and only, whatever it is, it's dangerous because, think about this, the first sin was pride. It was Adam and Eve in the garden wanting to be great. And the devil knew. I mean, Satan himself fell to the earth, was struck down like a lightning bolt because he led worship in heaven. It's a dangerous thing to be a worship leader. But it's a dangerous thing to be the devil and be a worship leader. Because Lucifer used to lead worship and he wanted to be great. He actually thought to himself, I can overtake God. It was the angel of light, talks about Satan being this incredible angel, the first kind of angel of the angels, of the archangels, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. And so he tries to be greater, and God strikes him out right away. The scripture says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He says, you want to try to be like me? God laughs at him, sends him down to the earth. Now we know why there's a devil on the earth. Have you ever wondered? Why is there a devil on the earth? It's God's judgment that has sent him here. You say, why is there a devil in the first place? Well, God can answer those questions. I'm not God. But he's on the earth. And he's been judged by coming to the earth. And when we were created in the image of God, folks, you know what it means to be created in the image of God? It's an incredible privilege to be made not in the image of an angel. Not in the image of an archangel. Not in an image of a Gabriel or a Michael, but to be made in the image of God. We have got a very, very majestic place in God's order and in God's creation higher than angels. Psalm 8, read it. What are you, O God? What is it that you are so mindful of us? That you made us a little higher than the angels. They had one choice. We've got so much choice. I tell you, and who is God going to use to destroy the enemy? He uses Jesus as a man. But then he comes and he shares his authority and his power with us, his church. And it's through the church that God will destroy the devil. Isn't it wonderful? We have this idea, folk. I preached it last week. Jesus said this, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. What does that mean? The church will overcome the devil. The church, Romans 15, 16, it says, you will soon crush Satan under your feet. When we're in Christ, folk, we restore to that place of wonderful image of God kind of stuff. And it's bigger than the devil. The devil was sent here so that God could judge him. And he's not going to judge him with his own effort. He's not going to get in the same boxing ring with God. I don't know if you saw that. How many of you saw that Carmen video years ago? Where Jesus and the devil are boxing, you know? It's a good kind of analogy, but it's somehow just not true at all, because God just doesn't even get in the ring with the devil. He says, I'll send one of my kids. Hello? I'll send one of my children. And crushes his head. Now that's what we're being restored to, folk. That's greatness that God's going to place on us. But that greatness comes in a very different way than we think. Because it's a good question to ask who's great. But the answer to who's the greatest in the kingdom is surely Jesus is. Hello? It's futile to ask if I'm greater than you in the kingdom. The greatest in the kingdom is the King, Jesus. And if you're going to live your life trying to be great in the kingdom, you're missing it. I got a LinkedIn invitation this week and it said, Apostle Prophetess someone wants to be my friend. I thought, Apostle Prophetess? I don't know, man. That's a bit like I'm trying to be great just before you even know my name. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom. And you know what? If we're going to be great, we're going to make Him great. Let us stand in the back. Let us stand aside and let Jesus get every title that belongs to Him. The Apostle, the Prophet, the High Priest, Jesus Christ. He's the greatest. He's the Savior and Lord. He's the one we sing about. He's the one we declare is God. He's the one who said He's God. So it's not what we say, it's what He says, but we agree and we worship Him. It's Jesus. That's, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom, make Him great. Because there's no point in living at anything else. He's already great. So just echo that. Echo Jesus. Echo He is Lord. Echo that with everything you do. And you will be great in the kingdom. Isn't it great? If He's great and you linked in with Him, you're great. If He's great and you're trying to be great, what are you trying to do? So become like a child. Make Him great. And Jesus says, those are the greatest in the kingdom. So, turn and become like children is the way to enter the kingdom. So the first thing we've got to realize is, when you think of a child, children are not always the most humble things in the world. Hello? I mean, sometimes children can be not so innocent. I mean, I don't have to teach Ethan, you know, to say a lie or to blame Bethany for something that's for a teddy bear that's been ripped up in the bedroom. You know, it's like, is that what Jesus is meaning? Surely not. But there is a sense of this wonderful clay that has every opportunity to be molded into a life that's going to glorify God. And when we become like children, we're really actually saying, I need to be molded. I need to be changed. I need to be turned. There's something amazing about children, you know. They've got an unquestioning faith. If you tell children that there's a Santa Claus, somebody asked me to put Santa Claus in my Facebook profile in the preach. You tell children there's Santa Claus, they believe it, isn't it? They trust. They lean on every word that you say. If you say to them, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is a magic word. Somebody asked me to say that. if you tell them it's a magic word, they'll believe it. Children believe everything that you say. You know what's so nice about children sometimes? They're underestimated. Like, I don't expect Ethan to come up with this incredible knowledge. But when he comes out and he says something like, I'm trying to think. I mean, he says some things that just blow our minds away. But it's because children are underestimated. You don't expect them to have this adult kind of knowledge. But when they step out and they say something like, Jesus is Lord or whatever, it's like, wow, look at that. Or, Ethan, I don't know, he says lots of things. I can't remember all of them now. But like, they're unsophisticated. Sometimes we get so complicated and so messed up and there's so many things going on in my life right now. You know, I phone people, hey, do you want to get together? I can't now. My life's in a mess. I just got to do this. All these kind of stuff. Children are so unsophisticated. Sometimes we just need to become like a child again. Just before grade one. While we're trying to sort out the doctrines of the world's thinking and philosophies. Children are unpretentious. You know? They're not trying to be something. You know, they're trying to prove a point. They might want to show themselves as strong men. I mean, Ethan, somewhere along the line, I got it a little bit wrong when I was showing Ethan my muscles. Okay, I'm like, maybe I don't have any, this is why. Okay, so and I said, hey, feel, yeah. Then he came and he felt the elbow. And then I was like, okay, let me roll with this. I'm like, it's hard, eh? He's like, yeah, yeah. He's feeling the elbow. Now sometimes somebody asks him, hey, show me your muscles. He's like, feel the elbow. It's like, whoops. So I've got to shape that one a little bit. And I think actually life will do its own work in him. Children are powerless. And folk, to enter the kingdom of God, how do you become somebody who just enters the kingdom of God? How do I become like a child? How do I get rid of all, oh no, but I believe this and I believe that, and this is what this guy said, and this is what that atheist said, and this is what that religion says, and this is what this experience is, and this is what that and my mother did, and my father did, and this person, that, and the church, this, and how about getting rid of all of that and becoming like a child again and enter the kingdom? And sometimes you just got to say, God, I don't know it all. Forgive me, oh God. I've tried to build my own life. I've tried to keep it all together. I've tried to be the best at this, the best at that. And I've tried to hold it all together and I just cannot do it. And it's actually God saying all those efforts are just childish. So become like a child anyway. And come and rely on a new father. To enter in. It says turn and become like a child. You've got to stop doing what you were doing and say, I realize I'm not in control of my own life. I've got to give my control to God. That's how you enter the kingdom. You start to recognize that Jesus is King. Repentance is this, folk. It's not repaint and use sinners. Repent, you sinners. It's this. Understand. And change your mind about Jesus. That Jesus is God. That He's come to the earth. He lived a human life and died for you. Died in your place for all the sin that you've committed. He dies for you in that place. So that you don't have to stand before a righteous judge one day. With nothing that you can say. Unless you've accepted that Jesus is the eternal insurance policy. And He protects you from everything. And you have to change your mind about Jesus. He's fully man, but He's fully God. Jesus is Lord. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And Jesus said to him, the Father's revealed that to you. You need to understand who Jesus is. When you get a grip of who that is, change your mind about trying to live your own life, trying to do your own thing, and follow Jesus. And when Jesus says, I will make you new, I will forgive you, I want to come and live inside your heart and change you from the inside out, that means becoming like a child and saying, yes, Lord. I humble myself and I come before you. That's what it means to be born again, folk, to become a little child. Become like a little child who needs to be guided and led by Jesus, who shows you the way. Who desires spiritual milk from the breast of God's Word. It's so wonderful that it feeds us every single day. Every time you need nourishment, you go to His Word and you watch how you begin to grow. Just be still. Don't try and solve the whole world's problems. Become like a little child and enter the kingdom. Sometimes it's so hard to enter because we're trying to do everything else. Listen to the Psalm 131. Verse 1 to 2 says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too lofty and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Wow. Are you tired? Are you stressed out? Is your mind freaking out? Come and be like a child. Let Jesus feed you. You need guidance. Do you know, like every one of us need to be guided? Hello? We need wisdom. We need parenting. Maybe you didn't have such a good upbringing, and maybe your parents didn't do you the best of favors in the world. But that doesn't negate the fact that you need parents. And God can be the heavenly father that your earthly father wasn't. God can guide and lead you and wants to. And your earthly father should have reflected the heavenly father, but maybe you reflected something else completely. If your earthly father did reflect the heavenly father, you are blessed. And your generation is blessed. Now you can be a generation that blesses the next generation and be a father like the heavenly father who brings guidance and leadership to his children. Humble himself like a child is greatest in the kingdom. Once we've come to repentance and faith in Jesus, that's the way to be born again and enter into the kingdom. Once we're in the kingdom, folk, you start with humility, you stay with humility. Now, you might be in the kingdom and you might sin, folk. That doesn't mean you're out the kingdom again and you've got to go repent again and go back through the same door again. No, once you've done that once and for all, because you know what happens? The Father adopts you as his child. Ethan, this little boy that tried to climb up the stage, just shame, man. Like, he probably could have, I don't know. Do not hinder the children from coming, John. But like, yeah. No. I don't know. How do I play guitar with one hand, you know? But like, Jesus adopts us. You know, there's a piece of paper that I have, and it's official. It says in there, this child, and his name, Ethan, is deemed to have been born to Brad and Sharissa Lane. What a declaration. Like, he's mine. That piece of paper says it all. And like, that's what God's saying. This piece of paper. I promise you there's a piece of paper. I have a Bible. Look at that, eh? On this paper, these words, is the legal declaration that those who believe in Jesus have been received as sons and daughters of God. It's wonderful, man. So I don't, when Ethan does a silly thing with his sister, take the paper out and say, I'm going to cross it out. And then when he's good again, I'm going to write it in again. And then I'm going to blot it out, and then I'm going to rub it out, and I'm going to put it in and rub it out. When he's adopted, he's adopted. He's my son forever. That's what God does, folk. He doesn't adopt you as his child and then throw you away. And then adopt you when you're good again and then throw you away. You know what? Because it's not dependent on you. Because when you say, Jesus is Lord, it's dependent on Jesus for your life. That's what makes you his son. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. If Jesus is Lord and I'm in him, I'm his son. It's dependent on Jesus. It's not dependent on me. I have to believe, I have to enter the kingdom by becoming like a child, but then I humble myself like a child while I'm in that kingdom. And every day, folk, I have to confess things that are wrong in my life. Every day I have to acknowledge I didn't quite deal with a person the way I should have. Every day I acknowledge that wasn't a very loving move I made there. Every day I acknowledge I'm not acting like the Son of God. If I'm a son, I need to look something like the Son. But that's the beautiful thing. His Spirit is inside of us, making us more and more like his Son. But we can't resist the Spirit. When the Spirit is in us, we have to be humble. You have to humble yourself. You have to keep listening. When something's challenged in your life, just say, yes, Lord. I stay. I'm going to become great by staying like a child, by humbling myself. This is important, folk. It's not about looking to become significant or prominent, but rather honor others. Rather make others great. Hello? A child has to honor its parents. If you want to become like a child, honor other people. Honor God. Honor your parents. Honor the law of this country. As long as it doesn't force you to dishonor God. Hello? Honor the laws. Honor your taxes. Honor. Be like a child. Don't fight it like an adult. So I humbly accept it. I humbly walk in the ways that you've got me to walk, Lord. And yes, the ultimate S word of all. Submission. People would want that to have like a spurt as I say it. Submission. It's like the biggest S word in the Bible. Will you submit your life? Not just to God, but to someone. I want to talk here about accountability, folk. Let me ask some of these questions. Who are you submitting your life decisions to? Do you make decisions for your life and let nobody else speak into it but you? Isn't the mature thing to come to the place where you can make decisions for your own life? Yes, it is. But even the decisions that you make, it's good to say, don't you want to check on this for me, please, John? An elder, a leader, a father, someone in your home, any authority. If you're a child, you've got parents. If you're a wife, you've got a husband. If you're a husband, you've got elders and you've got God. Submitting your life, but coming to people and saying, I need help. Will you show me what I need to do? There's people in this church. If you come to us as elders, myself and John, if you come to us and you say, I'm battling with a business decision that I've got to make. I don't know anything about your business, but I know how to recognize the peace of God. And if you come with a decision that needs to be made, I can tell you, and perhaps God would have given me a scripture that morning that exactly for you, and you would know what it means. But if you never submit, you're left on your own when it comes to decisions. There's guys in this church that are brilliant at investments. There's people in this church that are brilliant at restoring marriages. There are people in this church that are excellent at raising children. If you never ask, if you never say, is this good? If you never come and say, can you help me? We can never direct you or point you to the person who knows. But becoming like a child is saying, I don't have it all together. I need help. Will you show me? Will you show me where to get help? Hello? Folk, we're a proud people. Very proud people. We'll not tell a soul what we're going through. We'll not tell a soul about our sins. And the things that we're dishonoring God with. Listen to these things. Life decisions. Who are you submitting to? Moving in with someone. Have you submitted that to someone? Letting somebody move in. Have you submitted that to someone who knows the word of God? What about moving house? Have you submitted that to someone? I'm serious. Talking to people about what they think. Because perhaps God could have a better way for you. But you only know your way. And it could get you in trouble. What about a career move? What about changing the direction of your studies? Sharing your budget. Do people know what's in your budget? Is it only you and your wife, or only you? Have you humbled yourself enough to come to the point where you show somebody your budget and you show them where you tithe and where you generously give on a regular basis as a believer who's like the Son of God? Would you do that? It's a test, folk. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. There, I'm going to stay an adult. Humble yourself. What about going to the nations, an overseas holiday, major financial decisions, taking on more debt, having another credit card? Have you spoken to someone? Buying a house, buying a car, getting married, submitting a relationship that you're in to leaders in the church or somebody in a life group or somebody talking to somebody about the things that are going on in your life. What about having a child? Adopting a child. I submitted my decisions for Ethan and for Bethany to various people. We heard God, and then we wanted to see whether we had heard God. Because a lot of people say, well, the Lord said. The Lord said I must leave church now. The Lord says I must go worship Jesus and some other God. Rubbish, man. Submit. We don't all know what's going on. And we don't all know the answers to the problems and the situations that we have in our lives. Submit to decisions. Fuck, I'm eating. This is sinking feeling, hey? All right? Having a child, enrolling your children in a particular school or homeschooling. Have you submitted it? Because these things affect your life. They can change your whole life for the good or for the bad. Some people are equipped for it, others are not. And other people can see your blind spots better than you can. That's why you have blind spots, so that you can rely on others to see them. Regarding church, membership, a life group, leading or not leading, hosting or not hosting a group, going to a group, not going to a group. Are you reading the Word of God? What are you listening to? Are you taking in the sword of God's Word? There's another S. Are you checking what doctrine you're giving yourself to? With the others, with mature Christians. Some people have got some strange doctrines that they've picked up somewhere on social media or on something funny, and they think this is the way, and they want to come tell me, Brad, you're preaching the wrong thing. I say, where did you get that? On Facebook. Please, folk, I submit my messages, these preachers with John. So every week we get together. This is where we're going. This is the direction. This is where we're going to preach. Not always, because sometimes I can talk a lot of other stuff. But I have to be submitted. The finances of the church. My own finances, all these things. What are you doing with your time, your diary, your calendar? Have you submitted what you do with your time to someone? Perhaps you're so tired all the time because somebody who's got a bit of wisdom can show you that gym would help and sleeping a little bit more would help. And sometimes you've got to listen to what other people say. Amen? Major problem areas. What are you Googling? Click, click, search engine. Are you confessing sin? Are you confessing your struggles? Are you confessing your sicknesses? Some people are sick and they die and they never told a soul. And you know what? There could have been a wonder drug for them. Maybe just a prayer. Hello? Sometimes people don't tell us what's going on in their marriages or in their finances. And then the pauper hits the fan and then it's all of a sudden our fault. But nobody said anything. Submit yourself, folk. Let's become like little children. Are you getting that sinking feeling? Even this, a prophetic word that was spoken over your life. Perhaps some person, apostle, prophet said so-and-so, prophetess so-and-so, spoke this prophecy over your life, and you've been living your life by that thing. And how do you know that it's not a lie? How do you know that it's not even God? Or just somebody else's prophetic word, and you thought, I like that one, I'll take it for myself. When God's got a completely different plan for your life. What about visions and ministries and goals and dreams and desires? Have you spoken to anyone about it? The most wonderful thing you can do, become like a child. Ask for help. I stand here today because Manny and Dawn Pereira shepherded me. And I recognized when I was standing in Burundi at that time, I don't know how many times I've told this story, I won't give you the long one, but I don't know, I want nothing more to do with what I was in. Honestly. And then God said to me, why do you despise my inheritance? He says, inheritance comes to the sons. And then I realized that God had been using Nanny to father me. And I said, God, forgive me. And I submitted myself like a son to Nanny. I said, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. And then he exalted. Folk, all these things I'm sharing with you, Jesus did. God became a child. Hello? God became a baby. God submitted himself to his mother Mary and father Joseph and listened to them and grew in stature and grew in wisdom. It's incredible. Jesus did it. Listen to Philippians 2, Philippians 2, verse 3 to 11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I mean, look at that, servanthood. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, there it is, Jesus is God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't consider the equality that he had got a thing to be used to his own advantage. He did nothing out of his godlike quality when he was Jesus the man. He did it as a man with the Holy Spirit upon his life. Incredible how he humbled himself, condescended, and came down to that level. And then it says this, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. God's not asking us to do something that he himself hasn't done. Isn't that incredible? Humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Can I just quickly say something there? Obedience is not the O word. Some people say, no, obedience is gone now because it's all grace. It's all grace now. We can do whatever we like. No. If sin is sin, it's sin. If something's righteous, it's righteous. Let's not call righteous things wrong, and let's not call wrong things right. If God's got a way, if God's got a purpose, God's got a plan from Adam and Eve till the final day, that's what he's going to do. And folk, we need to submit ourselves. It's easy to be obedient when you've got a humble, childlike attitude. So yes, God, whatever you want me to do. Brad, Sharice, Elaine, will you lead this church? It wasn't a choice. It was a yes, Lord, we will obey. Will Brad and Sharice, will you go to Rwanda? Will you go through the door that I've opened for you to preach the gospel to people in the nations? It wasn't a choice. It's never a choice. It's yes, Lord, we will obey. Will you adopt this girl? Will you adopt this boy? With tears in our eyes, we said, yes, Lord, we will obey. God has known better. Therefore, listen to this. He became obedient to the point of death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus humbled himself and was exalted. When you humble yourself, he will exalt you. He will lift you up. There's two ways you can be humbled. You can be humbled by humbling yourself, or you can be humbled on that day. I would rather humble myself now than have God have to humble me on that day. Amen. Let's live with this thing. Fuck, I'd love to pray for us. Could you stand? Lord, I pray, Lord God, that our lives would not lead others astray. You said this, if anyone here causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. God, Lord, I pray for us that we would not lead others astray. That we would not cause people who are humbling themselves in the kingdom to be led astray by what we do or don't do. I pray, God, that we would warn people with our lips, because to not warn them is dangerous. But that we would show people with our lives, because to be an example is the right way. But I pray for every parent in this place and every person that's an example, that, Lord God, our words would match our hands and our feet. That we would not say one thing and do another. Forgive me, Lord, where I've been a hypocrite many times. Where I've said something, I've preached many Sundays, and I don't live those things myself. God, I can lead many astray. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me, forgive us. And God, we confess our need of you. Show us. We humble ourselves. Guide us, Lord, and lead us, Lord, as Father. This is a Father-Son operation. This is a Father-Son, Father-Daughter relationship. And we come before you this morning, God. We humble ourselves. And perhaps there's somebody in this place that is not a child of God, and you have not acknowledged Jesus as Lord. You become a child of God when you receive God as your Father. You become a child of God when you receive His Son, the one that He has offered for you to be saved. When you accept Jesus, the Son of God, as your Savior, that's when you are adopted as the Father's child. If you're in this place and you have never acknowledged Jesus as God, the Father as your Father, if you're in this place and you want to be a son in God's house, you want to be a child of God, you've never acknowledged that before anyone before, would you raise your hand and say, Brad, that's me. I want to become like a child. I want to be God's child. Is there anyone in this place? Just show me your hand. Anyone. You have to humble yourself if you're going to do this. It's the first step to being exalted by Jesus. Is there anyone here? Is everyone here a child of God? Is everyone here a child of God? Can Jesus watch your life every day and see this is how a child of God behaves, reacts, does things? This is my son to a world that is broken and lost. Are you in this place as a child of God this morning? Is there anyone who wants to put up their hand? Right. So, we are children of God in this place. Now the scripture says this, if we want to be great in the kingdom, we need to humble ourselves. And one of the most powerful things in the Christian walk is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're relinquishing control and power and decisions and life and leading to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it's like God enforcing the guarantee that you are His child. When the Holy Spirit baptizes you fully, you know that you know that you know that you are God's child. And your spirit inside says, Abba, Father. You know that God is your dad. And there's a boldness that comes on your life to tell others about Jesus and to bring them to church to be saved. Hello? Will you humble yourself this morning with me and we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us so that we can be better witnesses to a world of people that are sinking? Anyone? If we are not going to be better witnesses, this place will not fill up. We will not have people being saved here on a Sunday if we are not better witnesses. I can preach better, I can preach worse, but it's the church that has the Spirit on them that's going to see the lost coming and the lost fetched and the lost brought in. Can we do that? Can we challenge ourselves? Every child of God here, let's raise our hands. Holy Spirit, we want to ask you, please, would you come and baptize us afresh with your fire? We ask you for the anointing to come upon us like an oil, that we would know that we know that we know that we are God's children, adopted and never forsaken. And that Jesus is alive and inside of us. We are born again. And we have a purpose and a destiny over our lives as children of God to go and reach others. If we cause the lost to keep sinning, we might as well tie a noose around our necks with a millstone and jump into the sea. In other words, we're useless if we're not turning people from sin. Holy Spirit, we want to ask you, come upon us with passion, Lord, that we would be those who tell others about your gospel, about the good news of Jesus being God, and He is real, and He is powerful, and He heals and saves today, and He turns people from sin. He sets people free. Lord, if we will not do it, we are useless believers. Holy Spirit, help us. Come upon us, we pray. We don't want to be great. We want you to be great. We don't want titles before our names. We want Jesus to be lifted up. And therefore, we ask you, Holy Spirit, keep us pure. Wash us from sin. We don't want to do things that cause others to sin. And we want to do things that set others free from it. We ask you, Jesus, for the Spirit. Come and baptize us. And Lord, if there's anything that we're battling with, I pray that we would become like children and be accountable and start to talk to others. And if we've got successes, we would show them for the kingdom. And if we've got failures, we'd get help for them from the kingdom. Lord, we will grow as we become accountable, as we start to submit our lives to one another. The greatest in the kingdom are those who make themselves like children. We thank you that we are your children today, Lord. And there are many, many children that you still want to reach. Use us, please, Lord, in the coffee shops, in the office parks, in the schools, wherever. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Sure, that was a word from the Lord. You know, Jesus, when he was around the age of 12, his parents were looking for him, and when they found him, they said, why are you here in the temple? And he said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And I pray, as we've heard this morning, let us be about our Father's business. His business is, he came to seek and save the lost. We should be about our Father's business. Brad, awesome. I mean, I just want to create 5 quick points that I got from this thing. And you know, we put
into practice what we hear on the Sunday we at our life groups. I want to encourage you, get involved in a life group. But 4 points, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Is it you or is it him? That's a great question. How do we become great in the kingdom of God? The way up is the way down. Simplify your life. You know, make big things big and the small things small. Get our priorities right, guys. How do we enter? We must end the way we start with humility. End the way we start. And then fifthly, we must walk in submission to God and one another. I mean, those are the kind of things we're going to be discussing in our life groups. I want you to be, go, get involved in that. Going to go through some announcements. For those that are visiting us for the very first time, I don't want to embarrass you, but I'd like you to raise up your hand because we do want to give you a card. We want to remain in contact with you, give you a call. And also that card gets you a free cappuccino. So if you want to stick up your hand, if you're visiting us for the very first time, we'd like to see your hand. Is there any visitors? There we are. Hey, Massimo, that's the fourth time you've been with us. But you know what? Because of your boldness, give Max one. Give Max one. There we go. Welcome, guys. It's good to see you. Just after the meeting, there is going to be rotis on sale. What we're wanting to do is on the last Sunday of every month, bring a little bit of extra cash. Don't give that cash that you were going to give to the tithes and offerings. Don't then buy your food, but bring extra. But this morning, we are going to be selling rotis. So please stay with us in the coffee shop. Rotis, 15 rand. I've already got an order from my son who's at home studying, but he said, "Dad, please bring me for lunch." So avail yourself to that. Baptisms. On Sunday, the 13th of September, we are going to be having a baptism service. We baptize people here. There's a baptism font here. So if you haven't been baptized in water, why is it important to be baptized in water? We submit ourselves, we humble ourselves before the Lord, and we declare publicly what has already happened inside of us. We declare that we have given our lives to the Lord. We died to sin. We're raised with Christ. That's what happens. So if you've never done that publicly, please give your names to either me. Chris is not here today, but so give your names on Sunday, the 13th of September. We're having that baptism service. And I want to ask Jill, please come forward. Adore Ladies Breakfast. This is on Saturday, the 12th of September. And Jill is going to give us a little bit more info on that.
Thanks, John. Good morning. Morning, Brad. yes, in 2 weeks' time, we have an annual ladies' breakfast, and it's a huge big event in the life of the church, and it's going to be the most amazing morning. That is 2 weeks yesterday, and our speaker is a wonderful lady of God called Colette Miesk. She actually she prophesies a lot as well, and she's I know her personally, and she is a really dynamic lady of God. The price is 50 rand, and for catering purposes, next Sunday is the cutoff date to book and to pay. And there are two special prizes involved. One is for the lady that brings the most ladies. There is a prize of a full body massage. And I think in this day and age of stress, another S, a full body massage is an incredible gift. So this is for the lady that brings the most ladies. And there's also another a prize of a mani, a pedi, and a facial, and a beauty hamper. I will actually be doing this because I'm a traveling beautician. And so that is another wonderful prize as well for another lady as well. And most importantly, we do not want finances to stop any ladies from coming. So I'm asking also anybody who is prepared to sponsor some other ladies. Tristina and I will be at the info desk after the meeting to be taking your names and your money. And if you are prepared to sponsor any other lady, please won't you let us know as well, because we want all ladies to be there. I think that's about it. So please, ladies, come and visit us, Tristina and I, at the info desk afterwards. And I promise it's going to be a morning. Incredible morning for ladies. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks. So a wonderful outreach opportunity for us to get those that do not know Christ to a place. They're going to receive a lot there. And then, remember, guys, you are welcome to help. Our ladies serve us so well. Humble yourselves on that day. If you want to serve the ladies on that day, please come and speak to me after the meeting. We can get your names. We're going to be just serving the ladies on that day. World Equip, on the first week of October, it's the World Equip. It's a wonderful time. Registration has opened. It's starting to wean off. But if you still haven't registered and are wanting to come, you can actually register for single days. Monday is going to be a specifically nice time. It's in the evening, so if you've got work commitments, at least register for that night. We're going to be worshiping together with Martin Smith. Apparently, he is one of the lead guys from a band called Delirious. I don't know them, but apparently they're good. But isn't it going to be wonderful to be able to praise God? It's happening in the Rhema Auditorium. I've been there on a few occasions, but I'll tell you, when there's a congregation of that size, with hearts and minds and hands lifted to the one and only King, it's an awesome experience. What a way to get involved. So please, if you're wanting to get involved in the World Equip, please register. And then a couple of announcements going ahead. Mapia. You know, the world is actually coming to South Africa. We're hosting at this site, so we are going to be exposed to a lot of apostolic input. And the first is going to be Mapia. Mapia is from the DRC Congo, and he's going to be preaching here at the Crossing on the 20th of September. Tell you, you want to see humility. You want to see humility expressed in a man. You're going to just listen to the stories of Mapia, church planter extraordinaire. I tell you what God is doing in the DRC Congo and in Africa through these humble hearts. It's amazing. Please diarize that. Then on the 27th of September, Stanley and his wife Dina is going to be with us. He is from Burundi. And then last but not least, Tyron Daniel. Now, if you don't know, he is the apostolic leader of the team. He's actually going to be with us on the 4th of October. Please start diarizing. Make that a rock. It's a great privilege for us to host Tyron and his wife and his family that are going to be coming through. We're so excited. So, 4th of October. Next week we are going to be starting our morning meeting, not at 9:30, but we're going back to our early time of 9 o'clock. So, please don't be late. 9 o'clock, you guys have been given warning. Prayer meeting starts at 8:30. And just talking about prayer, on the first Thursday evening of every month, some of you guys know that we have an intercessors meeting on Monday, but it's during the day. So if you can't make that on Thursday evening, the first Thursday of every month, we are going to be hosting an intercessors prayer meeting here, and Annette and Jill are going to be coordinating that. So if you're wanting, that's going to be from 7 o'clock until around about 8:30. Folks, thank you for attending. Thank you for giving your praise. Please join us in the coffee shop for rotis and coffee. God bless you. Amen.